Let's see the Mishnah from the beginning. Hayakayre b'Tayra, this we saw last time. If somebody was reading the Torah, meaning he was not specifically involved in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, rather he was learning. He had a Sefer Torah in front of him, and he was learning the parasha of Kriya Shema. V'hegiya zman ha-mikro. And the time for Kriya Shema arrived, so he realized that he could kill two birds with one stone, as it were. He could learn Torah, and also be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says there's a condition. Im kivin liboy, only if he's mechaven his heart, then yotza. Very innocuous looking din. We spent a whole shiur discussing this last time. The Mishnah is clearly telling us that essentially you're not yotza. And if you just continue learning, you're not yotza. But if kivin liboy, then you'd be yotza. So the Gemara, if you remember, initially said it would seem to be quite clear, therefore, in the Mishnah, that mitzvahs, srichos, kavona, it's a very big machloikas. We know the opinion of Rabbo is that mitzvahs einom srichos kavona. Rabbo holds that if you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and you do not have the mitzvah of shofar in mind, rather you blew the shofar, as he calls it, loshir, just to play a tune. Which tune would you like to play? You'd like to play the Tkia Shvarim Trua tune? Rabbah says, your Yotza. Mitzvahs Einom Tzrichas Kavona. So the big question became, so how does he learn this Mishnah? This Mishnah seems to indicate that you are only Yotza if you had Kavona. So the Gemara's final teres was, we're talking about that he's learning from the Sefer Torah for the sake of checking whether there's any mistakes. He's not interested in reading the words for the sake of reading. He's interested in reading the words for the sake of checking, because he wants to see if there's any letters or words missing in the Sefer Torah. So we saw a very big machloikas over here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns, as we just said, he is definitely reciting the words, but not that he's interested in the act of reading. He's reading for the purpose of checking. Which means, as we explained last time, even if you hold that mitzvahs einom srichas kavona, but here there's a more fundamental problem. Remember we discussed last time, if you pick up your lulav because you thought it was a pencil, then you're not yotza according to anybody, even if you hold mitzvahs einom srichas kavona. Why? Because there you didn't even have kavona to do the act at all. You wanted to pick up a pencil, not pick up a lulav. If you want to pick up a lulav, not for the purpose of the mitzvah, that's when Rabbah says you're okay because mitzvahs einom srichas kavona. So Rashi over here learns that over here you fail on kavona number one, albeit not on Kavona number two. Kavona number two, which is mitzvahs, srichos, oy einom srichos kavona, that's a big machlekas, and Rabbah holds einom srichos kavona. Over here we're talking about you fail on Kavona number one, because not only did you not have Kavona for the mitzvah, you don't even have Kavona for the act of reading. Rather, what are you involved in? Checking a Sefer Torah. If you remember, Tosfos did not like that. Why? Because at the end of the day, who cares that the reason why you're reading is for the sake of checking the Sefer Torah, but you're definitely trying and involved in reading the Sefer Torah. That is the act. So what's the only thing that's lacking is the kavana for the mitzvah. But Rabbah holds mitzvah einam srichas kavana. So Tosfos learned differently. Tosfos says a very, very mechudash pshat. But here we're talking about he's reading the words incorrectly. But he doesn't care less that he's reading them incorrectly because he's not trying to read at all. He's just trying to check that all the letters are there. So he's reading the words letatfas and umezuzas. Why is he saying such a funny pronunciation of the words? Because he's not trying to read at all. He's just trying to check that all the letters are there. So if that's the case, then we understand that obviously you're not Yotza. forget yes kavona or not kavona. You're actually not saying the words correctly. So what does the Mishnah mean? Im kivein libo, you would be yoitzer. Says Tosis, you're going to have to say im kivein libo is lav dafka. It doesn't mean if you had intention you would be yoitzer. Rather, it means if you were particular to read the words correctly after all. Instead of saying letatfas, you say letoitofois. Now, not only is Tosfos himself admitting that it's lav dafka, the words im kivein libo are lav dafka, but as Reb Nachum pointed out last time, the whole pshat is quite difficult to understand. Why? Remember, Nachum, your question? According to Tosfos, what on earth is the chiddush of the Mishnah? According to Tosfos, basically, what's the Mishnah telling me? If you're reading the words wrong, make sure you read them right. No, thank you very much. Why is that a chiddush? What would I otherwise have thought? I would have thought that if you say letatfas, you're yetzer. Bishleim, according to Rashi, we understand very well. There's a tremendous chiddush in the Mishnah. At the end of the day, I pronounced all the words correctly, and you're still not yoitza. As long as you had kavana, not kavana l'tzerich l'mitzvah, but kavana to read, not kavana to check. Fine, big chiddush. But according to Tosfos, you read the words incorrectly, you should know you're not yoitza. Why? Because you read the words incorrectly. The only way you'll be yoitza is if you read them correctly. Why on earth is that a chiddush? That's a very, very difficult point. I don't really have a good teretz to that at this point. Okay, that's a brief summary of what we learned last time. Let's continue now the Mishnah. It's a little bit complicated, especially over Zoom, because under ordinary circumstances, we would perhaps draw a chart here together. I hope you did so anyway. Let's learn the next part of the Mishnah. The logic is not complicated, it's just that there are a number of cases, and we need to be clear in the various cases. It's quite clear from the remaining part of the Mishnah that we must make a very important distinction between Bein HaProkim and Be'emtza HaProkim. Bein HaProkim and Be'emtza HaProkim. Kriya Shema is made up of various different parts. You have the brachas before, you have the brachas after, and then you have Shema itself. But it's not one long piece. There are gaps. You finish the bracha, for example, of Yotzer Oir before you begin the next part, which is Ahava Rabba. You then finish that bracha, Haboyche Bamo Yisro B'Ahava, before you begin Shema. The first paragraph in Shema finishes Ubishorecho, then you begin Vahoya. That finishes Al Haaretz, and then you start Vayomer. Finally, you finish Vayomer, and you move on to the next bracha of Goal Yisrael. So there are various parts. Bein HaProkim, which we need to define a little bit better, but we'll see in a moment. Bein HaProkim means that you are in between the various parts. Prokim means each perek, each part. The emtza haprokim means you are in the middle of them. In the middle means you're not in between the two. You're right there in the middle of the bracha or in the middle of the paragraph of Shema. So our subject is with regard to either talking generally or responding or initiating a conversation with somebody else. So are there a number of factors, like I said before, the lomdus, the logic is not hard, it's just there's a number of different permutations, therefore a chart I think will be very helpful. We have to make one more introduction, and that is that just to be involved in idle conversation for no good reason, whether you are Bein HaProkim or Be'emtza HaProkim, everybody understands, is incorrect. What we're talking about is either responding to somebody who has said to you, Shalom, and in particular, we're talking about a special person. Either it's a person, as the Mishnah calls it, Mipnei Hayira, you're afraid of him, or even if not, a lesser degree, mipnei hakavod. It's a dignified person, Talmud Chacham, and therefore, maybe special rules will apply. Whilst we all understand, just to go and say hello to my friend in the middle of Shema, even if you are in between the prokim, is inappropriate. But mipnei hayira or mipnei hakavod, and certainly if you are responding rather than initiating, we may well understand there could be leniencies. So with those factors introduced, now let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Baprokim. What does it mean, Baprokim? So we see immediately in Rashi, on the third line, Rashi says, Baprokim, Bein, Hahafsokos. So you are not in the middle, you are in between. Between the gaps. Or in the gaps. Bein ha-hafsokos. Or lekamon mefarish lehu b'masnisin. And later on, we're going to explain, the Mishnah will elaborate a little bit more where those bein ha-hafsokos are. Bein parasha rishayna l'shnia, bein shnia l'shema. They change the girsa to bein brocha rishayna. L'shnia. What's the first bracha? Yotze Oir. The second bracha? Avo Rabo. Then Shema, etc., etc. So Rashi says, I don't want to get too involved in details now, but the Mishnah will explain it. And as we always point out, when Rashi says Lekamin Mefarish, it means because otherwise we wouldn't know what it means. Even having explained that Baprokim means Bein HaHafsokos, it's still unclear what that's referring to. So Rashi says, don't worry, the Mishnah will define and go into more detail soon. So suffice to say, at the moment, we're talking about Bein HaProkim at the moment, which, even without going into detail, we all understand that Bein HaProkim is obviously going to be less severe than Be'emtza HaProkim. There's more room for leniency, Bein HaProkim. So what is that room for leniency? Says the Mishnah, Baprokim Shoyel Mipnei Hakovoid. Shoyel does not mean respond, it means you may ask. You may even ask, you may inquire about somebody's welfare, Mipnei Hakovoid. Now that is a double leniency. Why is it a double leniency? Because we're not talking about responding, we're talking about initiating. Leniency number one. Leniency number two is, we're not talking about somebody that you're afraid of. We're not talking about Mepnei Hayira. If you see a melech there who's holding a big sword, then we understand that maybe there's a lot of room for leniency. But here, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Mepnei HaKovod. It's just a very dignified person. So that's another leniency. You're neither are you responding, rather you're initiating, nor is it Mepnei Hayira, it's Mepnei HaKovod. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. Why? Presumably, because you are Bein HaProkim. Had you been the Emtza HaProkim, indeed it would have been awesome. So again, the Lashon of the Mishnah, Baprokim, Shoyel, Mipnei, Hakovoid, Umeshiv. Now what does that mean, Umeshiv? Umeshiv means, and you may respond. So what's the obvious question? And Rashi does one of his classics, or the Gemara Parich, which is, isn't that overwhelmingly obvious? It's redundant, that line. If you're allowed to be Shoyel, well, obviously you're allowed to be Meshiv. So once you've told me that you're allowed to be Shoyel, you don't need to tell me I can be Meshiv. Meshiv means to respond. If I'm allowed to initiate a conversation, Kal v'chaymeh, Kol shekein, you're allowed to respond. So have a look at Rashi immediately. Rashi points this out. Shoyel mepnei ha-kovid. Shoyel b'sholoim, you may inquire about the welfare of Odom Nichbad. What does Odom Nichbad mean? a person who is dignified. Horo'u shero'u lahaktim lo'y sholem. Person for whom it's appropriate to be maktim lo'y sholem. What does maktim lo'y sholem means? Rather than just responding, if I see your average person there, I don't necessarily need to approach him and say hello. If he says hello to me, then that's civil to respond. But if it is an odom nechpod, if it is a dignified person, then you should be maktim lo'y sholem. It's the type of person whom you would normally preempt him, and you would initiate that conversation, and you would say to him, how are you? So you're allowed to do that. Says Rashi, umeshiv shalom im hikdimu loy, so too you may respond shalom to him if he preempted you, with the obvious question being, and we just asked this, uba gemara parich, and the gemara asks, kiven de shayel, comma, seeing as you're allowed to ask, you're allowed to initiate the conversation, pshita demeshiv, question mark, isn't it obvious that you're allowed to respond? So why are you telling me you're allowed to respond if you've just told me you're allowed to initiate? So l'chayr, that line seems to be completely redundant, says Rashi, good question, the Gemara will ask it. So we leave it at that. So again, Baprokim says the Mishnah Shoyel Mipnei HaKovid Umeshiv Ubaemza. If, however, you are in the middle, not in between, you are in the middle of what? Says Rashi, Baemza HaBrocha Oy HaParsha. If either you are in the middle of one of the brochas or in the middle of one of the parashiyos, then Shoyel Mipnei HaYira. So here now it's been upgraded. I cannot allow you to be shoyel mepnei hakovoid. Why are we being more strict over here? Because you're not bein, you're emtza. Therefore, mepnei hakovoid, it does not suffice. That's not sufficient reason to allow you to initiate a conversation. However, if it is mepnei hayira, what does that mean, mipnei ha-yiro? Says Rashi. Mipnei ha-yiro, odom shehu yore mipanov. Somebody from whom you are afraid of him. Shelo yaharguhu, so that he shouldn't kill you. Avol mipnei ha-kovoid, loy. But if it is merely mipnei ha-kovoid, then not. Why not? Because here you are not bein, you are be'emtza. Now, there is, by the way, the obvious question that can be asked. Maybe we need to address this at a later stage. If mipnei hayira means, as Rashi translates, that we're talking about somebody whom you're afraid might kill you if you don't say hello to him, so once again, we need to ask, so what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Obviously, it's pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. If mipnei ayiro is that drastic, it's not just somebody you're afraid might do some harm to you. You might kill you, Rashi says. So that's a classic pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is deicha kol ha-teira kula. So obviously you can say hello to him, you can speak to him, you can do whatever you like. So what's the chidush bichlal? Okay, either way, that's the opinion so far of, says the Mishnah, Divrei Rabbi Meir.
Rav, why did Rashi have to tell us be'emsa that it's either in between a bracha or the parsha? By saying the parsha, doesn't that mean the bracha as well?
No, parsha refers to only the three parshas of Shema.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
So there's the two brachas before, there's the bracha afterwards, right. And there's the parsha. It's the okay. Three parshas of Shema.
Okay, thank
you. So Rashi says that when we say be'emsa, it means the middle of. The middle of either the bracha or the parasha. So then you can only be shoyel mipnei hayira, but mipnei hakovoid, not. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, be'emtza. Now this is complicated. Shoyel mipnei hayira. Umeshiv mipnei hakavod. So how many points of disagreement are there so far between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? I would say one point of disagreement. Everybody agrees that if you are be'emtza, you can only be shayel mipnei hayira. You cannot be shayel mipnei hakavod. But here comes the chiddush. Umeshiv even mipnei hakavod. The first opinion, Rabbi Meir, seems to imply that shayel and meshiv is all the same thing. Whoever you can initiate to, you can respond to. But Rabbi Yehuda is making things complicated. And he is saying, whilst to be able to initiate, you can only initiate mipnei hayira, but not mipnei hakavod. That we're all in agreement because you're in the middle of the parasha or in the middle of the bracha. But to respond, it's enough mipnei hakavod to be able to respond even in the middle of a bracha or the middle of a parasha. A tremendous chiddush. And now let's see another chiddush. Ubaprakim, which as we translated before means and bein haprakim, not in the middle of but in between, where Rav Meir said you can only be shoyel umeshiv, you can be shoyel umeshiv mipnei
ha-kavoid.
He says, shoyel mipnei ha-kavoid. Again, that's the same as Rabbi Meir. But, umeshiv shalom lechol adam. We are allowed to respond to everybody. So there are two points of disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir, but when you think about it carefully, you'll see it's really one principle. What is that principle? Rabbi Yehuda holds that to respond, you can always downgrade one level from initiating. Rav Meir seems to say that Shoyel and Meshiv is always the same. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shoyel, I agree with you, that if you are Bein Aprokim, even Mipnei HaKovet. If you are Be'emtza Aprokim, then only Mipnei HaYira. But with regard to responding, which as we all understand, based on logic, is more room for leniency, Rabbi Yehuda downgrades it, that if you are Be'emtza HaPerek, you can respond Mipnei HaKovet. If you are in between Prokim, then you can even respond to absolutely anybody. Again, learning this Mishnah, it's not clear at all what is the yesod of the machlokes. Why this, why that? So Rashi again now for the third time. Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda, Gemara, Mefarish, Pluktai. As we always point out, Rashi only tells us this when there's an inherent question. And here there is an inherent question. Everybody's going to learn the Mishnah and not really have any basic understanding as to why Rav Meir holds this way, and why Rav Yehuda disagrees, and what is the machlokes all about? So Rashi says, good question, a bit of patience, you'll see it in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah Vayta. Eilu hein bein haprokim. Rashi already pre-warned us that the Mishnah will eventually elaborate, and here it is. What is considered bein haprokim? Not in the middle of, but in between. So we should number this. Number one, bein bracha rishoino l'shnia. What's the first bracha? Just after Baruch Hu, you begin Yetziroi Ruvayri Choshech. And it takes you all the way to Yetzer Hama'oirois. Then you begin the second bracha, which is Ahava Rabba. So in between the two brachas, having finished Yetzer Hama'oirois, having not yet begun Ahava Rabba, that is junction number one. Then number two, Bein Shnia L'Shema. Once you finish the bracha of Ahava Rabba, which finishes as the words, Aboicher ba'amo Yisrael ba'ahava, stop. You have not yet begun Shema, that is junction number two. Next, Bein Shema Levahoya. You've begun Shema, the first parasha, which finishes with the words, you're about to begin Vahoya, you haven't yet begun, junction number 3. Bein Vahoya im Shemoya to Levayoymer. The second parasha of Shema, Vahoya im Shemoya, finishes with the words, Kimea Shemaim al Ha'oret. Stop. Before Vayoymer, that is now junction number 4. Bein Vayoymer, which finishes with the words Hashem Elokeichem, Le'emes V'yatziv, that is now junction number 5. Those are the Bein Haprokim. So again, between the first and the second bracha, before you begin Avo Rabba, between the second bracha and the beginning of Shema, following Aboicha Boitzra Ba'ava Avo, following the first parasha of Shema before the second, following the second before the third, and following the third before Emes V'yatziv. The 5 Bein HaProkim. Rabbi Yudoimer Bein Vayoimer Le'emes V'yatziv Loi Yafsik. Even though Rabbi Yehuda until this point was the lenient opinion, but here comes a chumrah. And he's telling you, you should not be mafsig between that last junction, having finished all 3 parashas of Shema. You now want to begin Emes V'yatziv, you're not supposed to be mafsig. Why not? We have no idea why. So look at Rashi. This is now for the 4th time. Rashi says, Bein vayomer l'emes v'yatziv lo yafsik, b'gemara mefarish taimei. The Gemara will explain why this should be. What's the difference between this Bein HaProkim and all other Bein HaProkim? Says the Mishnah, let's now finish off the Mishnah. Very, very sadistic, very important. We need to know this for every day of our lives. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, Lomo, Kodmo, Parashas, Shema, Levahoya, Im Shemoya. In the order of the 3 parashas, why do we say Shema first? Why is Shema the first parasha? Does anybody understand that question, by the way? Very strange question. Where is the parasha of Shema? You won't believe it, everybody. Reb Nachum, you should be the first one to answer. This is your favorite answer. Is the parasha of Shema?
This week's parasha.
This week's parasha. Parasha's Vayeschana. And where's Vahoyo im Shemoya? Next week's parasha in Parasha's Ekev. So, what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah asks a question? Why do you say Shema before Vayoyim Shemoya? Strange question to ask. Why would you not say it first? It comes first in the Torah. If you have a look next to that word Lomo, can you see a little star? And in the margin it says Ayin Tosfos Lekamon Yud Dalad Omud Beis. You see that little note? Ayin Tosfos Yud Dalad Omud Beis. So turn to Yud Dalad Omud Beis, the top Tosfos. Tosfos addresses the question that we just asked. Top Tosfos. Lomo Kodmo Parshas Shema Levahoyo Im Shemoya. Says Tosfos, I don't understand the question. Ve'im toima tepuklei de kodmo batoiro. Why can't we suffice by saying because it comes first in the Torah? Isn't that a good enough reason? Why do we say Shema in Parshas Vayeschanan before Vayoyim Shemoya from Parshas Ekev? Because Vayeschanan comes before Parshas Ekev. So what's the big question? Says Tosfos, no, 1 second. Where is the parasha of Tzitzis? The 3rd parasha. Which parasha is that? Parsha Shalach, which means that there's something wrong with the order anyway. If all three parashas would be consistently in order with the order that they are in the Torah,
there's no question.
Then indeed you have no license to ask, why is this first, why is this second? Because this is the order of the Torah. But if the parasha of Tzitzis, which is in Parashas Shalach, and for some reason is put last in Shema, so you see that we're not going with the order of the Torah. Says Tosfos v'yesh loimar, da'achi ka'omar, this is what is meant. Lomo kodmo, why does it become first? Afla Parashas Tzitzis, it even precedes Tzitzis, the kodmo l'kulon, because really Tzitzis precedes everything. Elo vadai, it must certainly be ein onu choshishin lezer. So obviously we're not concerned at all with this point. She kodemes b'Torah. Apparently it makes no difference to us what comes first in the Torah. Why? Mishum de'omrinon ein muktam u'me'uchar. We have the famous principle that there is no correct chronology in the Torah, so the fact that it's written first doesn't really mean that it comes first. So therefore the order of the Torah is irrelevant. So don't say to me that Shema has to come first because it's written first. You see that the parasha of Tzitzis is written first and it comes last. So obviously the order of the Torah is not relevant. So what is relevant? V'imkein hoya lanu lahaktim. So therefore, l'chayra, we should have preceded v'hoya. Why? Shehi medaberes b'loshoin rabim. Did you ever notice that the first parasha of Shema is all written in the singular form? V'yilatotafos bein einecho, chsavtamal mezuzos beisecho, uvishorecho. It's not written in the plural, it's written in the singular. And what about the second parasha of Shema? That's written in the plural. Vavadatem, Artsachem. So therefore, Lachoira, the Loshon Rabim, should have come first. You should have addressed the nation, and then you can address each individual. And that, says Taisus, is what the Mishnah means to ask. Why are we putting Shema before Vahoya? Don't tell me it's because it comes first in the Torah. Clearly, the order of the Torah is not significant. The greatest proof of it is because Tzitzis comes last, even though it's written first. Therefore, the order of the Torah is not a determining factor over here. What the Mishnah means to ask is, I would have thought, based on logic, that Vahoya should come first because it addresses everybody. Only then you should write Shema because that addresses individuals. And that is the Gemara's question, the Mishnah's question. So let's just press pause over here and we'll come back and we'll see the answer of the Mishnah. So again, Omer Bishra bin Korcho, Lomo Kodmo, Parsha Shema, Levahoyo im Shemoya, Kedei Shiakabel Olov, Mail Oil, Malchus Shomayim, Tchilo, Vacharkach, Mekabel Olov, Oil Mitzvahs. This is a vitally and crucially important Mishnah to understand what we're actually doing when we say Shema. The first parasha of Shema is being Mekabel, Oil, Malchus, Shemayim. We are acknowledging there is a Melech in the Oilam, and that I accept upon myself his dominion. It's in the second parasha that we discuss the mitzvahs. Now that must be the correct order. You can't obviously accept commands, instructions, until you've accepted to follow those instructions. Who's talking over here? So first I have to acknowledge that there's a Melech, and I accept his leadership. And now I can move on to say specifically, I accept upon myself to follow all of those instructions. So first, in the first parasha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, that's when we are Makabel Oil Malchus Shemayim. Now that I've acknowledged and I've accepted the Malchus of Hashem, now I can be mekabel on myself also the oil mitzvahs. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, V'hoyoyim shamoya levayoymer. So why does that second parasha come before the third? Shavahoyoyim shamoya noyeg bein bayoyim ubein balaylo. The main mitzvah, as Rashi will discuss in a moment, that's mentioned in the second parasha is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Talmud Torah is a mitzvah that applies both at day and at night. However, Vayoymer, which discusses the mitzvah of tzitzis, einoy noyeg elo vayoym bilvad. There is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. Therefore, it makes perfect sense to first discuss what applies constantly, and then to discuss what only applies at daytime. Says Rashi, Vahoyoyim shomoya noyeg bein bayoyim bein balayla demishto'i. Demishto'i means it's talking about the Talmud Torah. Dechsev v'lemadetem oisom es b'neichem. That is the instruction concerning Talmud Torah. And Talmud Torah applies both at day and both at night. However, Vayoyme says that last Rashi, Eino noyeg ala bayoyim, demishto'i b'tzitzis. This parish is not talking about Talmud Torah, it's talking about tzitzis. She'eino noyeges elo bayoyim. As we know, the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies at day, diksiv, because it is written, ure isem oisoi, luxus laila, that comes to exclude a night garment. A night garment, a beged which is worn at night, which is not at a time that you can see the tzitzis, you can only see it day. Therefore, nighttime and night begodim are excluded. Therefore, the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies during the day, which is, by the way, the reason why women are exempt from tzitzis, because it is a classic mitzvah saseh shazman geroma. It's a mitzvah which can only be performed at day. At least there's only a chiv during the day. Let's have a look at that second Tosfos, although I must be perfectly honest with you, despite several readings of that second Tosfos, I don't really understand it. But let's try and read it to the best of our ability. By the way, Baruch Hashem, I don't even point out anymore, look at the Tosfos in preparation for the Shir, because we're assuming, Baruch Hashem, that we're learning every Tosfos. So we have moved on, Baruch Hashem. Ube'emza, Shoyel, Mepnei, etc., etc. Uposak, Rabbeinu Shemaya. Says Rabbeinu Shemaya, de b'mokoyim she'osur l'saper. Wherever it's asur to discuss or to talk, asur ledaber rafilu beloshen hakodesh. If it's asur to talk, then it's asur to talk in loshen hakodesh as well. It makes no difference in which language you're talking. V'kach mashma mitoch masnisin. That is the implication of the Mishnah, that there is no distinction made between loshen hakodesh and any other language. If it's asur to talk, then it's also to talk in English or French or Swahili or Lashon HaKodesh. Ubi Yerushalmi Ka'omar, in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, it says, Afilu Be'emtza HaPosuk. What does that mean? Rav Huna B'Shem Rav Yosef Omar, V'dibarto Bom. V'dibarto Bom means you must speak in them, meaning speak in the words of the Torah. And he learns, Mikan sheyesh lecha rushus ledaber bom. He says, you do have permission to talk words of Torah, even in the middle of tefillah, it sounds like. Even though we said you're not allowed to talk in any language, but v'dibarta bom. Bom, in those particular words, you are allowed to talk. It sounds like you're in the middle of Shema, you are allowed to talk Divrei Torah. V'hainu nami domrinon, and that's what we say too in Perakama de Yuma, V'dibarta bom, v'loi betfilo pirish, She'ein meishivin bo mepnei hakovid. It's true, you can't respond to people. The pnei hakovid, etc., etc. However, if it is in divrei Torah, then it would be mutter. Okay, we'll have to see be'ezus Hashem the halacha, because I believe that we do not pasken like this lahalacha. The next tosis we saw, which is going on the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara again. We saw this line of Gemara at great length. Let's just very, very briefly review it. Shma minam mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. It seems to be implicit from our Mishnah that mitzvahs need kavana, and that's why it says in the Mishnah that you're only yotzei shema im kiven liboy. Says Rashi, shma minam mitzvahs tzrichas kavana sheyehei mischaven l'shei mitzvah. Meaning that you must have kavana for the mitzvah, v'tik shel rabba, which therefore presents a question according to Rabba, the Omar b'Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, hatoikea l'shir yotza. Rabba says, if you blow shofar just for the sake of playing a tune, not for liboy, quote unquote, it means likrois, in order to read. What does that mean? Likrois, question mark, v'hokokori, he is reading. No, v'koire lahagia. So Rashi says, "B'koyre le'agia" means you're just checking to see whether there's any missing letters. Tosfos didn't like that, as we saw last time, because even if you're checking to see if there's any missing letters, but you're still reading, so what exactly are you missing? That's when Tosfos says, no, we're talking about he's not even reading correctly. He's saying the words tatfas and mezuzas. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. It's not the intention which is lacking, but rather the fact that he's not reading it correctly. Nachum, you asked a valid question. If that's the case, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Okay, let's make a start, at least, to the next Gemara. Tana Rabban. Begin a new sugya now. Very, very important sugya. Tana Rabban on Kriyas Shema Kichsovo. What does that mean, Kichsovo? You can only be yotze the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Kichsovo, as it is written. Says Rashi, two words, Kichsovo Beloshoin HaKodesh. You've got to say Kriya Shema exactly as it is written, meaning in Loshon HaKodesh. And if you translate it into any other language, according to this opinion, you will not be Yotze Divrei Rebbe. You cannot say Shema in English or any other language. According to Rebbe, it's got to be Kichsovo. The Chachamim Oimrim, it's not true. You can say it in any which language you want. My time of the Rebbe. So what is the reasoning? Why does Rebbe hold that you can only say Kriya Shema in one particular language the way it's written? And in turn, we'll have to ask, why did the Rabbanon disagree? Says the Gemara, my time of the Rebbe, Yom Akro, because the Pasuk says, Vahoyu. Where does it say Vahoyu? Vahoyu hadvarim ho'ele. Vahoyu means, this is the way it should be. They shall be. Vahoyu, they shall be. So Rabbi interprets that to mean, Bahavyason yiyu. In their existence, they shall be. What does that mean, in their existence? Exactly the way they exist, that is the way these dvarim, these items, shall be. Which is another way of saying, as they appear, as they exist in the Torah, meaning in Lashon HaKodesh, that's the way you yotze the mitzvah. Vahoyu means bahavyason yehe. In their existence, they shall be. Do not alter it in any way whatsoever. With the obvious question, therefore, now we have to begin our tennis match. So what does the Rabbanon hold? How do they deal with this pasuk? V'Rabbanon maitamayu. So what is the reasoning behind the Rabbanon? Why do the Rabbanon say that no, you can say it in every language? The answer is because they have another pasuk, Omakra Shema. And what do they learn from the word Shema? Listen. Bechol Loshoin she'ato shoimea. In any language that you can hear in. They somehow see in the word shema, you can hear. How must you hear? However you normally hear. In any language that you normally listen and speak in, that's the language that you hear this to. So we have a machloikas. At the moment, neither one has addressed the other one's drasha. Which means that we'll have to now proceed with this ting-tong tennis match, because how does each one contend with the second drasha? But for the moment, each one has brought at least a drasha to support their own opinion. According to Rabbi Vahoyu, Bahavyoson Yohei, according to the Rabbonon, Shema. And the Gemara immediately asks now, what about the other drasha? Ula Rebbe, on the first wide line, Nami Oksiv Shema? That's all fine and well that Rebbe brought me a drasha of Vahoyu, but it does at the end of the day also say Shema, which the Rabbonon derive from that word in any language you listen to. So how does Rebbe understand that? Says the Gemara, Rebbe learned something different from that word. Hahu mi boyale. That word is required for him to learn something else completely. Hashme la'oznecha masha'ata moitzi mipicha. You have to listen with your ears that which your mouth utters. This is going to be a whole sugya later on, which we're going to learn next month, Bezus Hashem. According to Rebbe, it does not suffice to whisper Kriya Shema. You've got to say it loud enough that at least you yourself can hear what you're saying. And where is that derived from? That word, Shema. Shema means listen, not to somebody else. Listen to the words that you yourself are uttering. So therefore, Rebbe is not in the least bit worried about this word Shema. We do not learn from the word Shema in any language. Rather, we learn from the word Shema, you've got to hear what you're saying. So obviously, the ball now goes back to the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon. So what do the Rabbanon say? How can the Rabbanon learn from this word, Shema, meaning that what? Any language. What about the drasha of Rebbe? You've got to hear what you're saying. The Rabbanon sovri lohu, the Rabbanon hold command Omar, like that opinion, that loy hishmiya la'oznoi, even if you did not say it loud enough for your ears to hear, yotzo. In other words, the Rabbanon say, you actually do not need to say it loud enough for you to hear. So therefore, the word Shema is freed up. What do we learn from the word Shema? According to the Rabbanon, not that you have to hear what you're saying, because actually, you don't need to hear what you're saying. So rather, what is it? They learn from the word Shema that you hear in any language. Meanwhile, Rebbe learns from this word Shema that no, you've got to hear what you're saying. In which case the word Shema is not freed up. Therefore you have no right to learn from over here that Shema can be said in any language. Okay, we'll press pause over here. We hope to be able to reconvene at least one more time before Tisha B'Av, which will Be'ezus Hashem be on Tuesday. And then we'll have to maybe take a break for Ben Azmanim. We'll see.
Can I ask a quick question before you go?
Yes, please.
When we go back to Mitzvah Trichas Kavan, we have the example of Achilas Matzah, where Shulchan Aruch comes out very clearly and says that even in a case of Ones, and the guy doesn't think at all whatsoever the fact that he's eating the Matzah, he's Yoytzeh. In other words, if he's, you know, he's being held up, you know, by a bandit, and the bandit puts a piece of matzah in front of his face, and he says, eat it, or that he eats it. And obviously, he doesn't have the kavana. So in this particular case, basically, we're holding, like Rabbah, that mitzvah is in its tzricha kavana. Is that an anomaly to the way we generally hold?
No, one second. Where was that Shulchan Aruch? Was it in Tuf Ayin Hay or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, I've got it. Shulchan Aruch Tuf Ayin Hay, Sif Dalet. It says, Ochal Matzah Beloi Kavona, for example, you were forced by a goy, for example, you're still Yoitza. So if you look there, the Mishnah Berurah asks your question. Mishnah Berurah says, "Va'af al gav the mitzvahs tzriches kavana." Even though mitzvahs need kavana, and over here you definitely do not have kavana. To the contrary, you're forced. So Mishnah Berurah says that eating is different, because eating you have automatic hana'a, and therefore it's like your mechaven. And after that, he brings at those who disagree and says you're quite right, Tosas and the Rosh and others. If you hold mitzvahs tzriches kavana, then indeed you're not yotze when forced. Have a look at the Mishnah Berurah there. It's Sif Katan Lamed Dalad, and he asks your question. It's a good question.
Okay.
Okay. All the best.
Okay. Wonderful day, everyone.
Good.